Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hi, hello. It's the internet, or maybe it's not. Wherever you listen to this. Maybe you're listening in your car. Maybe you're listening on a commuter train, subway, or some other form of public transit. Maybe you are at the gym. Regardless of where you're listening and where you're listening, I want to welcome you to Season 94, Episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where, look, we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, subconscious, all the kinds, all forms of consciousness, higher consciousness, lower consciousness, and everything in between, and say just off the rip, a big fuck you to Koch Industries and Fox News. Okay? That shit is trash, Sway. Get it off the airwaves. It is Thursday, August 8th, 2019. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. It's just Miles of Gray. Letting hot takes flow through on the Daily Zeitgeist. And you know that is fuck Fox News. Okay, and there. I wish there was more, but there's not. And we'll leave it right there.
Woo! I was gonna come in and support you.
Thank you so much to at MaxSauce319 Dennis Spliff Jr. For that, aka one of the few people who understood the song I was referencing when I said just one of them days. So keep those AKAs coming, and then I'll have another challenge Friday, so y'all have the weekend to get your ideas. But I digress. It's time to get to my guest host. Someone who is an A1 day one, has been holding it down, holding the show down, holding me down for a long time. And whenever I need somebody to sit across from me and guest co-host and co-pilot this ship, it is my honor to introduce the scam goddess herself, Miss Lacey Mosley.
Hey, y'all. It's Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess, a.k.a.
Ooh, scamming every day is what I do. Ooh, I can take it like a pro and you won't know. Do it long, bro. I'm a con pro. Got your fraud alerts jumping like a disco. I can't be caught so good as some Crisco. And all you gotta say is Lacey go. Don't say my government to the cops, though. No.
Oh, wow.
That's courtesy of me. I wrote that just now.
Yeah, earlier when you were working, like, you're like, ooh, sock it to me. I was like, oh, did somebody send you something? And I should have known you were in the lab.
I want to take it back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That album, fuck.
Oh, the Missy Misdemeanor Elliott. Shout out to a queen.
Yes. For also, so that album, I can't talk enough about it. I get a little choked up.
Yeah.
actually thinking about it.
Yeah. That and then K Tronada's remix of Sock It to Me.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty much any K Tronada remix is gold.
Fight.
Well, you know what, Lacey? We are thrilled.
Oh, yes, we are.
To be joined by a hilarious comedian, improviser, someone who is actually celebrating their comedy anniversary upon this day with us, which I consider a great honor because, I mean... You've soared to great heights if you are here after just 3 years in comedy. Please welcome our guest, Pallavi Gunalan.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Hi. That was amazing. That intro was fantastic.
Thank you.
I believe you are a scam goddess.
Thank you. I am.
She, yes. When am I going to get that free trip of that vacation rental place?
Oh, you are. You just got about 7 more installments.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to finish your installments.
Right, but I thought if you said if once I do the first payment, well, first you said, just trust me. It's going to look tight as fuck. Just give me the first payment, and then you can come check it out. We're 3 payments in now.
And also the monorail to the
this rental
house.
Yeah. Oh, did you invest in that too?
I bought a monorail.
I'm so glad you brought that up, actually, Pallavi, because that's why you haven't been able to visit the property is because the monorail is being worked on right now.
Oh.
But keep the payments up, because if you stop the payments,
then
I have to reimburse you.
I remember you told me.
3 to 5.
Right.
Yeah, and you won't be able to have
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'll keep eating these vitamins and using this makeup.
Oh, yeah. These goji berries, my skin has never been drier. well, anyway, we're going to get to know you a little bit better. But first, let's talk about what we're going to discuss today. Shaq, I'm just saying this right now. He might be worse for Papa John's than John Schnatter was. He put out this video. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I don't know what this idea he has is, but we'll talk about this apparently new genius idea from Papa John's that will get them out of the gutter. We'll also talk about the Smithsonian acquiring a very important piece, and we'll discuss that with art historian Lacey Mosley momentarily, because you also, among other things like vacation, investment opportunities, you're also an art collector.
Absolutely.
I can't believe you actually got me a
Banksy?
A Banksy for $14.
Wow.
I think because, what was
it? He destroyed it. Yeah. It got shredded.
It got shredded.
This one was shredded. Like, I know it looked like it was in a paper shredder.
It was
just smooth.
And then taped back together.
Yeah.
But you say that strip is from that piece.
No, it absolutely is.
Okay.
It absolutely is.
Well, y'all, I've made it. So, and Lacey will tell us a little bit more about this other specific piece. We'll also talk about a little feud going on between AOC and Mitch McConnell. Joaquin Castro, just go off, Joaquin. Do what you do. Caused a bit of a commotion on Twitter. And many other things, including a scam involving guacamole, which I feel like, Lacey, you might be interested in this one.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. But first, Pallavi.
Hi.
What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I looked up Marxism yesterday because I forgot what it was.
Nice.
I was like, which man with the beard is this?
Oh, like, Darwinism.
Yeah, which one is it? And I when it comes to like grand political theory, I can get mad about stuff that's happening today, but I like don't know like Marxism versus like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like I mix them all up.
What were you looking it up for? Were you just like sitting at home? And you
I was like, what the fuck is Marxism? And went like, how is it different from commun? I was on the bus.
There you go.
I think I just like saw, I don't know, Karl Marx somewhere or like probably like a tweet making fun of it. And I was just like, do I understand this fully?
See, make sure.
I wish more people did that. I wish more people took the time to hop on to Google, do a quick Google before they started talking smoke. You know what I mean? Like,
they're probably all busy driving their actual cars.
No. Oh, no bus shit.
I just feel like so many people get on Twitter and talk about things that they don't know, and it's like, we got a whole free internet. You just go to your other app and Google something real quick.
Welcome to the new era, though, where everybody thinks they know everything just because it's a search away.
Yeah.
It's like, that's enough to enable people's like pseudo-intellectualism.
Yeah, the main problem is that they don't know where to go like to look for the answer.
Right.
So they just like pick whatever source agrees with them.
Yeah, they'd be on my site. They'd be...
Yeah. Trickopedia.
Come on, Trickopedia.
Yeah, come on, Trickopedia, where it's what I say it is. Yeah. Okay.
And truthfully, everything can be a fact if it's just believed and stated for long enough.
Damn.
That's true. That's actually what I learned.
She said it a lot.
Yeah,
so
you have false facts,
her.
And you have that's why you have something called a false fact, because if you just say a statement as a fact for long enough, people will start to believe it.
Right.
Like, and then it is the truth.
Yeah. That's like
I'm just thinking of that business presentation you gave to me, which over and over you said, say it with me, this is not a scam. And we said it over and over. She's like, you might think it's too good to be true. Three bedrooms with dock access for a mere $100,000 in Aruba? This is not a scam. Say it with me.
And
this
everybody left knowing that it wasn't a scam and being fully convinced.
And then you were crying to me at the end. You're like, everybody left. You're not going to leave right now. I'm like, no, I guess I'll invest.
But not before you handed out your Venmo, right?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And now Venmo has protections. Bank. Have y'all seen that?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're Venmo. Saying it's bullshit, right? It's like, this is some bullshit.
Well, I just tell people that $1.75 is not worth it, okay? They're just trying to get your money, all yeah. right?
Do you have QuickPay? Do you have Apple Cash?
Cash
what's something that's overrated?
Okay, this is going to be... I didn't realize how many listeners you guys had before I thought about this. And I mean this in a very specific way.
Mm-hmm.
But Oprah. Ugh. Okay, she's amazing.
Wow.
I know. She's amazing. She's a philanthropist. She's inspirational. Her story's fantastic. But she doesn't know shit about science. And she's enabled a lot of, like, bullshit peddlers. Dr. Oz is full of shit. The entire medical and, like, scientific community is against him. He had to, like, testify before the Senate.
Yeah.
She's, like...
Dr. Phil is not a fucking doctor.
Dr. Phil... Well, he's, like, a PhD, but his thesis was on something totally different, and he hasn't practiced psychology since 2006. She gave Jenny McCarthy a platform to talk about anti-vaxxers.
Right.
Like, she helped start that movement.
And Ayanla. But Ayanla is an older black woman with large breasts, so she is... qualified. She's qualified to do what she does.
Anything.
Yeah, if you want to give surgery. Advice as an older black woman, I would have to get a breast job to have larger breasts so people could cry in my bosom. That's right. Really
Can
the only
Can I tell
requirement.
You something? That's still, it's a moment that still sticks with me, but I fell asleep on a plane one time and we were like landing and I fall asleep on the tray table and this big bosomed older black woman was sitting next to me and she woke me up with the warmest like just hand rub on my back and I still think about that when I'm lonely.
I know what that rub is too. It's in between your shoulder blades.
Yeah, it was
comforting.
So good.
Yeah. It's like one can do it like
I literally just thought of my grandmother.
Comforting. Right?
You know why? And she'd be like, you know, this releases stress. Endorphins. No, yeah, she was saying like between your shoulder blades, there's some kind of, it
really?
Activates them. I don't know. This is also
probably just
how
the knots.
A black grandmother would talk.
But I believe her because she has large enough breasts. Okay? Mm-hmm.
They were hefty.
I feel kind of bad for the small-tittied grandmother.
This is a really hot take, but I understand specifically the aspect of the take that you're talking
right,
about.
Right, she platforms.
Because she did, like Dr. Phil has been yelling about, if you want to get off crack, get off crack. Right.
And Dr. Oz is like, he's an actual medical doctor that is selling people fake fat loss pills and like other horrible, like they don't do any research into their guests.
He's like if a medical doctor started being like an Instagram thought. Basically. I mean,
right. But there are Instagram thought medical doctors and right. they're like more legit than Dr.
Yeah, they're like at least they're actual doctors.
They're like,
just great
I'm naked,
apps.
But I know science. Right. You know,
Dr. Oz is wearing a white coat and then like some little swim trunks underneath. Like, it's me, your boy, Dr. Right. Oz.
I saw him at Nike Town when Nike Town used to be a thing with Robin and I was starstruck.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to lie. I was starstruck when I saw Dr. Phil. Ugh, I don't know why. I think I'm a lonely midday TV person. I mean, obviously, I'm not defending him. This just means there was an era in college, I remember. Like, right. you know when, like, in high school, you never watch daytime TV because your ass is in school.
Right.
And then when you start going to college, like, you know, your schedule's a little bit more
you
malleable.
You got limited channels.
And all of a sudden, you're like, shit, I could watch TV at 11:30. And I'm I'm watching motherfucking Dr. Phil now.
I would watch Bob Ross episodes before it was, like, all on Netflix.
Oh.
We had to, like, find them online.
Where'd you... Oh, you just go on YouTube?
We got stuff.
Listen, I'm not...
Wait, what is that? Hold on.
Like, it wasn't just on YouTube. We had to, like, download it. And
oh, okay.
Pirate it.
Yeah.
I like how sort of shook you are. Yeah. Everything like,
well,
look,
it was a
hot take. Oprah.
It was a whole system.
You're legit to be shook about that because I got in trouble in college for pirating. Like the pirate,
you did.
Like, yeah,
you were
like,
one of like the 17 kids that got arrested. And everybody heard about it.
The company came after me. I squeezed my way out of it.
I bet you did.
Cried a little bit and whatnot. And I was like, I'm on scholarship. But what happened was LimeWire was LimeWire. If someone else is downloading something that you've already downloaded, it technically is you downloading it too.
Yeah.
So it happened on the school Wi-Fi, and they called me in. Why the fuck I get busted for Carrie Underwood before he cheats?
Wow.
And I was like,
you should be like, that's not me.
Right?
Look
I've
at
had
me.
This paranoia
they
where
play
I'm
it,
like,
I'm like, I drug my key. Oh no, oh no.
I had this paranoia where I was like, whenever I was like driving and listening to music, I was like, I really hope that I don't like get into an accident and like die. And then they like figure out like what song I was listening to when I die. I was like, that one Justin Bieber album was good.
Yeah. And you have to say
it's
that from the grave.
While they take your body away.
Like, just, you
it
should
is
just,
too late to say.
You should have like a medic alert bracelet that just has like, whatever the explanation engraved. It's like, despite what this may look like, just so you know, this this album was actually a pretty good offering if you compare it to some of his other work.
I was going through a rough time.
Yeah.
It was a gift. Okay, but that's my overrated. I love Oprah in all other ways. I think she's very inspirational, but she just needs to find like a medical science expert that is not her.
Yeah, well, guess what? When you're that rich,
woo,
you know what I mean? You don't even exist on Earth anymore.
Right.
That's true. She's especially just in like a wrinkle in time, just floating up somewhere.
Nice connection. What's something that's underrated?
Oh, underrated.
The TV show The Doctors.
Grey's Anatomy. No, this goes against everything I just said, but like Spite, I think, is underrated. I know my therapist and I are working through mine, but I think it's been very helpful for me to like get work done. It doesn't last long term when you're like, you
it'll
know,
you
throughout your
kick.
Whole life,
give you
but it'll
kick.
Give you a good kick to like get shit done.
Spite is the ambitious cousin of Petty.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a hardworking cousin of Petty.
Can we get that tatted?
Right. I have
Spite
it on my
is the
thigh.
Ambitious cover. Yeah. Ooh.
Spite is the ambitious.
On your inner thigh.
On Facebook, my Facebook little banner still says, let pettiness fuel your success.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Shitting on people is great.
Well,
it's not
even like shitting on people. It's like all
with your
like,
success. You
one,
don't
well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't actually do anything.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Them. You,
you
glow
just
up.
Like the best. What was did Beyonce say? The best revenge is money or something?
The best revenge is success.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But that's how I feel. Like one dude will do something shitty to me, and I'll just apply to like six comedy festivals.
There you go. When was the last time you let spite fuel you?
It's been a minute.
I just applied to six comedy festivals.
It's been a minute. It was a lot last year, honestly. I think it has driven my comedy.
Yeah.
Because people are like, I don't know. Whenever people are like you're not like, or not many people have said I'm not funny, but a lot of people are just like shitty to you in comedy for like no reason or for like random reasons they make
insecure.
Up.
Well, also you're a woman, and you guys can you hear it maybe? But you're also attractive. That's all.
God,
that is a thing.
Yeah.
Am I gonna get arrested now? If I was
this
a white
woman
dude, that's a joke
is not
make.
A scammer.
Right, right,
she
exactly.
speaks the truth.
Well, yeah, I remember people telling me when I was doing comedy in New York bars, like, "Oh, well, you better be prettier than you are funny." I was like,
"What the
funnier
fuck does
to
that
you?"
Mean?
Yeah.
Those people now work for me.
Hey, yo, don't give them jobs.
Very specific jobs to rinse out her empty soda cans. I don't. They better not be sticky when they go in that recycling can, because it'll attract ants.
I will check.
Yeah. Thank you, Lewis. Okay. Well, I'm just thinking, the spite thing I can definitely get behind, too. Like, I remember a lot of breakups fueled some of my greatest creative output.
Yeah.
Like, I would make music or write music and, like, or write sketches and do other things. Like, I remember, like, Funny or Die had just come out within months of me being destroyed in a relationship. And I was like, I'm about to fucking destroy this website. And I didn't. But it was very good to motivate me and gave me, like, the kind of tunnel vision that only Adderall used to.
Yeah,
right.
This is why I say like people always say like, oh, men get better like within relationships, and I'm like, women get better too. It's just after we're like,
right.
We like break up and we're like, I'm gonna get on Duolingo. I'm gonna learn piano.
Right.
You have so much free time now that you're not emotionally babysitting a man child.
Yeah, right.
But wait, so what did your therapist say? Like, why did your therapist say spite is like not good?
Because it, like, consumes you, and then you're comparing yourself to other people and, 100%. Like, all this other stuff. And, like, long-term, it's going to burn out, and it's, like, not going to be good for you, and it's going to, like, sabotage your own career, and it's going to, like, make you feel really
oh, damn,
shitty
your therapist
the time,
had a lot to say.
And, like, yeah, and then, like, you just, like, victimize yourself, and that's, like, self-sabotage. Anyways.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think at a certain point, right, like, if we're putting so much emphasis on something external, right, like, to prove some other person wrong, then the fuel of your engine is going to be corrosive over time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think because, again, your true power is understanding that all your validity, what you're worthy of and all of that comes out of an ability to recognize that you yourself is very powerful.
Right.
And then the second you consider a person outside of you, now you've completely ceded that power to something outside of you. Now it depends on something outside of you. So you always need something outside of you to recognize your own potential and your own self-worth. Mm. If you can start off by saying, let me let y'all know what the fuck I can do. Because if I'm just the best version of me, y'all are fucked.
Well.
Yes.
Buy my tapes for $59.99 right now in 60 years.
True. You give your power away. And also, another way of putting it is, like, no one will ever give you closure.
Right.
Like, you will never find that outside. Like, people are always like, should I, like, text him again? Should I do this? And it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, don't rely on what you think their reaction is
going to
be.
And also this, why do you need somebody who already doesn't know who the fuck you are, really, your worth, really? Why do you need their opinion on top of them already demonstrating to you that they don't know your worth or who you are? Why do you need them to then explain to you who you are to get closure? You don't need it. You don't need this person's opinion.
I will say, as a petty caveat, I don't necessarily...
I love this bitch.
I don't necessarily have specific people that I'm like, ooh, sure. I hope that they see the things that I'm doing. It's just something in the back of my head that I'm like, I know my ex-boyfriend's mama.
Oh,
one day,
wow.
She's not going to be able to close her eyes without seeing my face.
That's Lady Gaga. Yeah.
But I don't check on her, and I don't know where she's at, and I don't think about her often.
I just eat at the Papa Do's that she works at every time I'm in town.
I throw her a tip.
A good tip.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. I need more Pontchartrain sauce right now. And if, don't fuck around. Finally, what's a myth? What's something people get wrong?
Okay, this is a plug for my shit, but I have like a comedy science web series called Dirty Science, and I did my second episode on race.
Okay.
Because there is no scientific definition for race for like many reasons, including the fact that all of our ancestors, like the most recent common ancestor of all humans alive on the planet lived like 3,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's like we're all like way more closely related, and it's more of like a continuous spectrum of like different like physiological traits.
Sure.
That you can't define any race by any specific group of traits, right? Like, there's no, it's too continuous.
Right.
So it's literally just used for slavery.
Yeah, like, no, of course. It's like, how do we put people in buckets?
Yeah.
And separate them.
Oppression.
Yeah.
Well, how do we go about this?
And we'll call it a race, but we're first.
Like, they started with other stuff that wasn't working as well. Okay, what about, like, voice? Like, how high your voice is? Is that a race?
And one guy was like, no, not that.
That's not a race.
No, that ain't a race.
I just want to own people.
Like, all right, back to the.
Did you start? Did you study science?
Yeah.
In school?
How could you tell?
I'm guessing. I mean, it sounds like an intersection of your interests: comedy, science.
I'm actually currently probably getting kicked out of a PhD program right now.
Why? What happened?
I do too much comedy.
Oh wow! What were you working on?
I'm getting. I'm biomedical engineering. And that's what I did my undergrad and my master's in as well.
Damn.
And then I worked in a biotech company for 2 years, and then I moved down here.
Yeah, so you really got no sense. You're trying to get into comedy. Now.
I know. Do you know how fucking mad I am at myself?
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm like, why do I love this?
But hey, but exactly, you're following what feels good, right?
Yeah.
I think if you feel good, you will be successful. That's Miles' tip for the day. We'll be back with Iyanla right after this.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent, telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
And we're back. And Shaquille O'Neal, you know, he's been doing some work with Papa John's ever since the original Papa John was just ran out on a rail because of his, you know, racist hot takes.
Yeah, he was doing Father racism John. To people.
I mean, yeah, yes. I don't even call them hot takes. Just fucking racism.
They're not even hot or new or fresh.
Yeah, it's fucking it's just like stale ass racism.
Just like the
with
pizza.
Too much fucking sugar.
Racism just delivered to you in 30 minutes or less.
Or less. It's called Twitter, and it's actually 30 seconds or less. but so Shaq put out this video on his Twitter. I'm not even going to play it because it's just, it's exhausting. It's meant to look like, shh, it's Shaq. I'm in a Papa John's board meeting.
Good at that.
They're not,
you sound
they
just
don't
like
know
Shaq.
I'm here. So he's all whispering and shit. And it's the most obvious ad I've ever seen, right? But again, okay, let's pretend Shaq, you're on a Papa John's.
The largest black man ever is in your boardroom.
Then he's like,
also, I was just imagining like how big the iPad was he filmed on it because his face was like so close to it. And
right.
He's got such a big face. Ooh.
I think he was just holding a MacBook Pro.
He just like has like a giant screen.
The 45 and older selfie hold. Like,
yeah, when it's this close. Yeah.
It's so close. I'm like, y'all just pull the arm out. I keep telling them to pull the arm
out. Or if
out.
You ever get an older like rideshare driver, like a Lyft or Uber driver. Everybody got the low angle murderer face shot.
Woo!
Yeah.
We got to give classes to the elderly.
What if it's not because they can't?
Well, 45's not elderly, but
but they're basically dead. What if it's not because?
Nah, I'm too close to that. Right, let's kick that up a notch.
Oh,
let's call that 79. Yeah, right. 79.
Honestly, it's like 63.
Yeah.
Mm. That's when you still were around for technology, but you missed the selfie wave.
I just like being like in my technically now or approaching my mid 30s, where now I'm like kicking the can down the road of like what I think is old.
Right.
Because now I realize, too, when I say we say shit about like boomers or Gen Xers on the show, they're like, hey, man, we're still cool. I'm like, yeah, you probably are.
Right.
But that's me the same way I hear like I'll meet some Gen Z kid and they're like, yeah, I was 5 when you were talking about this thing you're talking about. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
When I turned 21, I was like, damn, I'm 21. Like, I'm an old bitch. Like, I'm not a teenager no more.
But
and then
we digress.
I turned 28 and I was like, oh, okay, no. Now I hang on to youth so deeply.
Yeah, right? With every ounce of your
I drink
being.
Like coconut water as regular water now.
Wash your face with it.
Oh, yeah.
That's my secret.
And just like bathe in it.
I'm black. I'm using moisturizer.
We're lucky. We all got that nice melanin in our skin. I think we're gonna stay
but I'm trying to back
looking.
It up.
Yeah. I'm doing moisturizers on top and creams and injections.
Oh, so also, you got the backup hard drive and Time Machine and iCloud running. Yeah, you're backing everything up.
I will start injections soon, but not right now.
No, you better not. I'm going to a good doctor.
I'm going to go to Angela Bassett, doctor. Y'all didn't even go, no.
Does she have work done?
Honey.
Don't tell me that.
Dude, men are so dumb. Okay. Literally, like, this guy was talking about this girl, and he was like, her lips are so beautiful. I'm like, those are, they're injections.
No, no,
like,
no. But
guys have no idea.
I have to push back on that, because I'm pretty good at spotting obvious plastic surgery.
Yeah, like,
you are.
No, no, no. Angela Bassett, though. If you look at Angela Bassett, she's not fucking around. She's not, her lips didn't get, like, big or anything. She's just, her face
she got
has remained.
Subtle. She probably went to whoever's doing the Kardashians. She got a very subtle, you know what I mean? Because like, everything is like so smooth.
Okay,
it's
hold
not
on.
The Kardashians are like way more obvious.
I was trying to talk about fucking Papa John's. Okay. Just forgot that I was. I'm like, where the fuck are we?
Okay, Shaquille O'Neal.
Okay, Shaquille O'Neal. The point being, despite that wonderful road we took, everyone's lit ass plastic surgery and us convincing Lacey not to get plastic surgery.
Yeah, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like robotically beautiful.
I'm cheating. She's cheating.
I'm
going to be like just the voice eventually.
Yeah, she's like, no, you don't need to see my face. It's about a vibe.
Lacey is a vibe.
I'm the character
okay?
of this city.
Lacey's an experience. But Shaquille O'Neal.
L.A.C.I.
Okay, did Shaquille O'Neal have work done or not?
Yes or no? Here we go. He has, I mean, a little deep set lines, but I think, you know, that comes with age. But he was, so in this video, he's saying he's at this secret board meeting. He's unveiling like a secret new, or like, I'm going to taste test. This all this new thing. You don't know what the fuck is going on. He's just like, remember, papadilla. So he's saying, he's pointing to a thing on a table and they're calling it a papadilla. And when you look at it, it looks like the shape of a quesadilla, you know, like, but it's basically a folded in half pizza cut like a fucking quesadilla.
But also, they spelled papadilla, P-A-P-A-D-I-A, instead of...
You know, I think maybe just because of the previous leadership at the company, they didn't want to venture into, I don't know.
Oh, so they're going to like appropriate it without calling it.
Yeah, I think you're doing a white appropriation of it, which tells me the racism is still going on. Because if you're going to steal the dia, then take the dia and put the ia in the papadilla.
Yeah, put the ia in there. You know what I mean?
Like,
but
don't play with us.
The thing is, I'm more upset that it's a motherfucking folded in half pizza just cut.
That's a calzone.
But even then, but
you know we live in the age of reboots, okay? Right. We rebooting Cinderella, we rebooting Little Mermaid, we rebooting pizza, okay?
Pizza folded in half.
I want
pizza
an all donut reboot of the pizza dia.
Mm-hmm. Again, could be great, might not be, we'll never know.
We're probably going to eat it one night.
I mean,
here's
what I'll say, we'll never know.
Right. Like, oh, really?
I'm sure someone will try.
You do care about your health. Oh, my bad.
No,
I'll try it.
I don't. Taco Bell on Monday. I love Taco Bell. And Taco Bell is health food.
Here's my main issue with the video, though. Certain angles of people, like Shaquille O'Neal is in this video.
The
angle of it makes me feel like I know what it's like to have sex with Shaquille O'Neal, and I don't like that.
Oh, right.
It's like the angle of like
face.
A man on top of you, like, and I don't like that.
It's like POV from a woman's perspective of what she hates.
Right.
It's like the only porn category that's not been searched.
Nightmare POV porn.
No, but then you compared it to that generation's like selfies, and now I'm thinking about my dad's selfies, and that's
That's what your mom sees. That's what your mom saw.
Ruined forever. Welcome to nightmares with Lacey. Let's move on to a bit of a dream. Okay, Beyonce. She is in the Smithsonian Portrait Gallery now in the permanent collection. So snaps for her.
Yes.
And more importantly, the woman who took the photo, right? Isn't she like one of the youngest photographers? It's a woman?
It's a man. Yeah.
It's a man. He's one of the youngest photographers to ever be in Vogue.
Super Vogue. Yeah. And I think he is the only black male.
Oh, so it was that one.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
With the amazing sunburst crown she's wearing.
And there was a little bit of internet backlash, basically, because they were, which I thought was dumb. Like, I was reading on CNN, and I was, like, looking at the trolls, because it's like, she doesn't deserve to be there, and she's not historic yet, and is she a doctor? What did she cure? I'm like, it's an art museum, y'all. Beyonce art. She literally walked around being art. What are you talking
about?
They
have so much shit in the museum anyway from people, like, you don't even know. Like,
right.
Okay.
I'm trying to think right now of like people who are in there that you could probably be like, yeah, what the fuck is that person doing in there? Don Knotts has a portrait there. What the fuck is he doing in there? No, I don't know if he does, but that just feels like the kind of shit that would be in there. Hold on. I really just kind of want to see. Okay.
Yeah, I do too.
There's Bob Hope. Look, if Bob Hope's in there, Beyonce's definitely in there. Okay. Lena Horne. Okay. You can put her in that category. John Brown, Meteor of the South. I mean, historic figure. There's people like fucking Kelly Slater. Come on, man. He's a surfer. Beyonce's fucking can be in there, y'all. Relax. Right. Please take a second and just relax for
really
a second.
I really want you to have like Kelly Slater's fan base come back against you. No, I get what, it. The wave of that last.
But even then, I'm not even saying Kelly Slater shouldn't be in there. It's like, what? Who gives a fuck? Like, right? If they're like, right. Kelly Slater, great. Fucking surfing. That what's the problem?
I then think we Beyonce, Beyonce is a polarizing person for people because you either look
she's
at her two ways. She's unapologetically
black.
Yeah. Well, not even just that. I think it's mostly that Beyonce has reached a level of work ethic and just astounding success that you either look at her and you're like, some deep insecurities like, I could never. And so you're like, fuck that bitch. Or you look at her and you're like, damn, I should try. And right. So that's me. I'm like, oh, I get up every day. And like, if I have a productive day, that's my Beyonce hours. That means I had a day from start to finish where I did a lot of shit. And I'm like, okay, this is how Beyonce live every day. Okay, let me try.
Up at five?
Up at five.
Okay, she deserves workout. Every bit she
you
know,
has. No, you got to get your
eating
workout in.
Eating an apple, saying you're hungry.
Right, saying you're hungry. Then maybe a little bit of lettuce, you know?
Prank call Pharrell.
Go to several jobs.
Having
several
like three
jobs.
Children in a flower garden.
Right.
Yeah.
Growing a child from the earth.
Hiding the child. Like making sure yes. No one ever gets to lay eyes on your seed.
Have people seen the twins?
Very rarely, but I understand that because y'all tore Blue Ivy up, so yeah. I knew she wasn't gonna give us the twins. It's like Beyonce's like the opposite of what Kim K does with her kids. Kim K is like, give me my little cute baby and right. Let me put her in a negligee.
And then which magazine
matching
will pay
matching negligees. Do they make pasties for babies?
Oh, hell no.
She's like, I'm. how much longer can I pass off my child as Japanese? I need right, exactly. Kimonos to be popping.
Or being like, oh, I came up with the one-legged cat suit. Okay, Flojo. Right.
Uh-huh. We got, I
like,
know,
we didn't
right?
know.
One-legged diaper.
Anyway, let's move on to some other people that ain't shit. Mitch McConnell. Recently, I think over the weekend there was a photo that came out on Facebook with a bunch of fine young men who were choking and groping a cardboard cutout of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And they're all wearing Team Mitch t-shirts at, like, I don't know, some kind of event. And she called him out and she's like, is this what you pay your campaign staff to do? Like, is this sort of the ethos of the Mitch McConnell campaign? They came back and they clarified these are just high school kids and were volunteers. But this was the response that they gave. Was that this is from Mitch McConnell's campaign manager saying the media is using the image to, quote, demonize, stereotype and publicly castigate every young person who dares to get involved with Republican politics. These young men are not campaign staff. They are high schoolers. Team Mitch in no way condones any aggressive, suggestive or demeaning act, whatever, just a fucking boilerplate shit. But the essentially of like, look, they're, you know, boys will be boys, you know, right? Can we just relax?
But
boys will be boys.
Here's the crazy thing about it. Is think about having just such a nasty ass, gross ass following, like a base that's just the most deplorable, disgusting human beings that even when they do something that is wildly inappropriate, you can't even just be like, that was wild. That's not what I support. I didn't know they were doing that. You got to be like, look, boys will be boys. You know, creeps will be creeps.
Right.
But that's my fan base. So I can't insult them. I have to uplift them. And then in the same token, say that they do not represent me, but I can't piss them off because I need them to vote for me.
Exactly.
I feel like you just become like a shell of a person. Like let whatever morals the like crowd that attracts you or whatever is like, it just lets you fill it up.
That's like
you know
yeah, that's like rapist for Mitch McConnell. Look, me as Mitch, I'm not doing the rapes.
Right. He's like, yo, but the boys will be boys. This is the thing. AOC actually clapped back pretty
it was
significantly.
Great.
She said, quote, boys will be boys. Is that the reason why you've chosen to block the Violence Against Women Act 2? It prevents dating partners with records of abuse and stalking women, also an early warning sign for many mass shooters, from obtaining a gun. And just sort of like, right, it's this sort of mentality, right, that's what got Brett Kavanaugh confirmed of this idea of just being like, you know, when it comes to white young men, they can be boys, you know, they're only 17 or whatever. But, you know, if you're
12-year-old
a black and brown
Rice,
boys,
you're a grown-ass
man. You should have known better. Why are you intimidating the police?
Why are you playing with... in a park.
There is like there are studies. Well, actually, this is my role in this now. There are studies that
yes,
show
doctor.
That I'm not a doctor.
Oprah
not
said
a
you
doctor.
Were.
Oprah said you were.
Okay, well then,
your book is on the number one bestseller
rich,
chart.
Bitch. There are studies that show that like first of all, like with the whole like police brutality thing, there are studies that show that like. Well, most police departments, it's like overall, are like mostly Caucasian, and they have an inherent bias that they think that Black people are stronger than they actually are. Mm-hmm. That's where the like the animalistic, like all right. they attribute like more strength to like children. So it's like combine those two things.
Yeah, and even with women, that's why Black women don't get prescribed painkillers as often because doctors are like, you know, Black women are stronger.
Maternity or maternal mortality rates are insane for Black women.
Yeah, like the whole Black woman's trope of being a strong Black woman has really started to be such a detriment to us. Like even like Black girl magic, like we just meant magic like special and worthy of love. And they were like, no, magical. Like,
what? Witchcraft. How must you do this?
Y'all bitches doing spells.
Yeah, or something like, oh, well, what do you mean? You can't make $5 a month work.
Right.
Use some of that Black drill magic. Like, no, this is not what
that's
the fuck
not how that
about.
Works. Stop.
The resolve of somebody is not meant to say, like, oh, well, that's a greater excuse to continue to not give
right.
you advantages.
Right. You've been suffering, so continue.
Yeah. You make great art out of it. Just keep doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, you got your Beyonce portrait in there. That's magical, right? She's wearing a crown. I don't
know. But this image is like, I just looked at it and it's pretty disturbing. Like, one of them is like choking her and smiling.
Yeah. And these, again, you know, this is the attitude that people have of just, you know, boys will be boys. But this is, boys will be boys is the most toxic shit. It's not saying, no, we need to actually begin to have an evolution around, like, what we consider, like, what is acceptable masculinity or what masculinity even is or means.
How fucking insulting to boys.
Right. I was like, what are you saying about boys? Mean. Monsters will be monsters.
You know, boys are fucking just predators.
They're the worst.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but I mean, that's always been a constant threat is that, you know, women are taught to protect ourselves from men. And if we're not doing enough to protect ourselves from men, then, like, if the boogeyman, the literal boogeyman comes and gets us, then that's our fault.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, I just don't understand why Mitch McConnell couldn't just come out and say what they were doing was inappropriate. I'm sure they're young and immature, but it's still not okay.
It was more
excuses.
And
that's fine. Yeah. He literally tried to defend their actions, did not say that their actions were wrong anywhere in there. He just tried to remove himself from their narrative by saying that they don't work for him.
Right, exactly. And they said it was a non-school event. And they said the school they went to, they were aware of the photo circulating on social media. And this matter has been addressed with the students and the families involved. It's not even like, it's like, well, we talked to them. It's not publicly saying, no, that's obviously ridiculous.
Also,
like,
they need to all be in therapy because they all little fucking criminals. I remember when George Bush had his fan art out and shit. I'm from Texas. Uh-huh. And I used to like erase the whites out of George Bush's eyes and everything before Donald Trump. And now I look at George Bush and I'm like, damn,
oh,
was
like
he a
using
nice
a pencil
guy?
Eraser on no. a textbook? Yeah. Yeah. I know that.
Still
one.
No.
No, still no. But now by comparison, George Bush is like, y'all said I was going to be the worst president in history and look at you now. I mean, but Trump's taking it.
Well, it depends, right? Because I mean, you can
if
have this debate all the time.
Yeah.
There's a certain aspect of what is happening like out in the open versus like the open assault on our rights that Bush
internally.
Was involved with. So it's that's why
like the millions of
there's a little bit
died.
Of revisionist history to look back at George Bush, but don't get it fucked up.
Right.
I mean, he started a fucking war that completely fucked up an entire section of Earth.
That's
but again,
true.
I get it. I don't I don't mean to take the wind out of your sails because yes, obviously Donald Trump is a fucking terrible president.
But I'm saying that as a joke.
Yes, of course. Yes.
But we used to like erase the little eyes out and stuff as kids, but we weren't like grabbing George Bush's cutout crotch and choking him.
Yeah.
Like
well, and then also too, but this goes on to sort of where we're at too, where again, just like with Brett Kavanaugh, there are men that are rising to positions of power that are behaving in a certain way that we're trying to say is actually not acceptable for people to hold these kinds of positions. And then you have these young people who are presumably engaged in politics or pretending or just want to troll people of color or whatever, mm-hmm. or libs, triggered the libs with their Team Mitch gear, who are sort of engaging in the same thing that we're like, no. This is something from the past we're trying to move past.
Also, like, what a fucking boring-ass team to join. Like, I didn't even know they had those shirts. Like, pick another, like, hate-filled person who's, like, more active
you're
and
not
has
even on
a personality.
The best racist team.
Yeah, right. You're not even, like, right. Yeah, he's effective, but you're not even on a fun team.
But that's the whole point, though. Like, he's a Grim Reaper, and, like, that's chill because his neck looks like lunch meat.
That's why they didn't put his face on it.
So... moving on, though, because this is another sort of indication of where we're at. Joaquin Castro, who is Julian Castro's brother and campaign manager, tweeted out a list of people who are basically maxed out donors, already maxed out donors to the Trump 2020 campaign. His tweet was, "Sad to see so many San Antonians as 2019 maximum donors to Donald Trump, the owner of Bill Miller Barbecue, owner of the historic Pearl, realtor Phyllis Browning, etc. Their contributions are fueling a campaign of hate that labels Hispanic immigrants as, quote, invaders, and has, you know, all this information down that says, you know, so-and-so, Mary Hewitt, retired, or Mary Barrett, retired, Lynn Lawrence, Jack Lawrence Corp. So it's all these places and where they work. The right blew up, and we're basically saying, like, you're doxing these people, and this is no different than the hit list that the shooter in Dayton, Ohio had. Now, first of all, we'll get to these point by point. The reason this information is out there is because when you make a fucking campaign contribution, the Federal Elections Committee, they have all this information and it's publicly available. So you can understand, because there's transparency in who is contributing to campaigns. They didn't hack some fucking database. Also, y'all, this is a great tool for anyone really interested in politics and where money's going. Check out opensecrets.org. That is a website that compiles a lot of this FEC information, and you can just search by candidate. You can search a name. You can find out if your boss, who they contribute to. Because the whole point is, this is publicly available, so it's not about doxing. This is a completely different thing.
Also, imagine supporting a political candidate and needing to keep it a complete secret.
Well, I think that's the thing. People are saying they're naming and shaming these people who donate to Trump. So you do it. So then you acknowledge that it is shameful to support a president who is so openly racist and discriminatory and inflammatory.
No, I think they view themselves as victims. They're like, then course, the Antifa too. Is going to come after me. Like, I dealt with someone who like was a friend, and then I found out she's like both sides, and I was like, and she was like, well, we're afraid you're a comedian, you're going to talk about it, and I am. and she was like, we live in a place where there's like Antifa and stuff, and they're going to like target us and our jobs and like whatever.
Yeah,
and
we will like take your jobs. We will get on Twitter and
fucking
take your jobs.
Yeah, I'll take that money that you're donating to like a bigot.
Well, yeah, and also, I mean, the idea, again, there's a lot of creating this fake threat. Oh, you know, like you're saying, the Antifa people, they're going to come for me. The real threat of physical violence is coming from the right. That's all there for you to see. But again, to create this sort of narrative of being a victim, then you have to create this threat. Now, this is where it got fucking wacky, because old Doju Don Jr. went on Fox and started running his mouth about, oh, this is no different than a hit list.
You know, I've seen what these things do. I see, you know, what's going on with the Joaquin Castro craziness and putting out a list. I mean, that list sort of screams like the Dayton, Ohio shooters list, right? When a radical left-wing politician who's polling at about 0% does this for either attention or a call to action, it's pretty scary. I mean, that was the same thing that the Dayton, Ohio shooter
did. This is a list.
And people should be fed up of this nonsense.
This is a list of 44 people from San Antonio who contributed.
So he's not necessarily saying go and do something dangerous to these people.
It's completely different than that. Perhaps not to reasonable people, but...
People are so fucking stupid.
Again.
Well, like, just because a list is a list doesn't make it the same as another list.
Well, I have two points.
My grocery list isn't a hit list. Like, what are you talking?
Oh, yeah, you were about to hit them corn
I'm
cobs.
About to destroy the corn.
Well, I have two points to that, two counterpoints. One is that this list is including people who do own and run businesses. And financial starving, like, if people who are liberal or people who just don't believe in the racism and the bigotry and the murder that's been incited by our current administration, if they don't want to support your business anymore, then it's a wonderful opportunity for them to starve you out financially, especially if what you're doing is contributing to hate groups.
And in a city that is a majority Hispanic city,
exactly.
Too.
Especially when we know now that these hate groups are actually emboldening people in these specific cities, especially, to kill people of color. So one, that is a list that's actually helping people starve out people whose money is going to hate. I absolutely want to know if you're funding hate groups. I will stop eating at your establishment. I will stop buying whatever you're selling. And then also, I know deep down that these Republicans feel such a deep responsibility for what happened in Dayton and for what happened in El Paso, because otherwise they wouldn't be using these shootings as a political tool to act as if one liberal act is the same as a Dayton, Ohio shooting is to make an empirical comparison to these events. Basically, you're saying that this is a liberal person trying to incite violence in the same way that a right-winged person did.
Yeah, they need that equivalency to try and sort of relieve themselves of any guilt about
this. But to make that equivalency is therefore stating that it's true, that the right wing really did have a lot to do with these murders.
Yeah, and I think, again, this, you know, like what he's pointing out too, right, is because San Antonio is a majority Hispanic city, you should know, again, who your money goes to, right? If you're, if this is your community, then these people who own these businesses have a, the people should know, oh yeah, I'm operating in your community, but I'm also invested in your destruction too.
Right.
And this is the thing. You're the people who you support, especially if you are maxed out at this point, if you're maxed, meaning I'm giving everything I can in this cycle already, that means you've co-signed everything that has happened up until this point. That means you support every single fucking thing. You saw everything and said, yep, I'm maxing the fuck out now. I'm not going to wait a little bit and see where I've landed. You're saying, no, 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 I like this shit. I like this shit. So when you say that puts Republicans in danger for being on this list, how, right? Because if being a Trump supporter makes you a pariah because you are basically a racist, that should tell you something about what your support means. Because that's called society letting you know where the rest of where everybody else is at. Where it's like, oh, this is how you operate? Yeah, that might isolate you a bit because we actually don't support this agenda and don't think that you could look at the situation that's happening in this country and say, yeah, I want to continue this. You know what I mean? And there's another aspect too of like, when everyone's takes are sort of like, I mean, this is so bad. They're naming and shaming people. Like I said before, okay, good. So you do know it is. This should be a thing you should be ashamed of, right? Because I don't see any other. There are people out here who are wholeheartedly, you know, Kamala supporters, Bernie supporters, Elizabeth Warren, whoever. They don't mind that you know who they are because they're at least they can say, look, maybe the candidate might not be perfect, but what they sort of stand for, to me, I'm not ashamed of that. If you can't do that with your candidate, then that should tell you something. And again, it's this whole sort of self-victimization thing. Again, it's so transparently like, oh, I mean, like, God, we got to figure out a way to sort of make, we need a moment where all the eyes aren't on us and on somebody else for being, you know, the bad guy.
But I think that's all like, that's all tied in. Like I think the like naming and shaming thing, like they do not view it that way. They think that they are targets. They think that they are fighting their fight. Like they, if you talk to these people, they think that they're like, they're like being attacked and it's a situation where like the entire country is against them and they're like fighting for their own rights.
Sure. Yeah.
Like it's the same. It's we view our actions the same way, but there is an absolute truth and they're just like on the wrong side of it.
Yeah.
And I also think that what he did when he compared Joaquin's list to the Dayton, Ohio shooter's list is what you said is right, is that they were like kind of telling on themselves by like acknowledging that that caused that. But I think they're also like taking the steam out of any of these lists. Right. So if like it happens again, then they're like, oh, well, we don't know when it's going to happen. Like, right. Like it could happen. It happened on like the left side. They like made a list and nothing happened. But like on the right, you know, we don't know when it's going to happen again.
Exactly. Yeah, that's not even a list. It's letting the community know there are people who are benefiting from your dollars, your hard earned money, and are invested in your destruction. And you should know that.
I just think that the right is so afraid that there's going to be a war. I think that everyone is starting to have a deep
race
fear
wars,
that they're
going
to have to atone for the sins, for their centuries of sins. And the simple fact is, and we keep trying to tell people, is that everybody, every minority, every person of color, for the most part, is really just trying to live. There's no concern with becoming the master race that white people have. We don't have that. And to even call Antifa something like a group that somehow would be an adversary to the Klan or to Nazi organizations, when the truth is that they're anti-hate groups. All of these groups are motivated by anti-hate, by peace, by freedom, and your groups are motivated by hate.
Yeah, right. It's like, look at the fuel in your engine.
We wouldn't exist without you because we are trying to stop you from doing horrible things to people that are completely unwarranted and unprovoked.
Yeah.
It's so like weird what people will do when they feel backed into a corner. Like they really are just like trying to hold on to like the whole Make America Great Again thing is such a like, It was such a great slogan for them because it's like, remember the 50s when nobody was allowed in here?
Right.
Remember when time. Milkshakes were cute and white? Like it was just, it's like they're white knuckling and it's so obvious and everything is so triggering. But now I feel like that's kind of part of the reason that they're so good at recruitment is because of this distraction. Like, they're telling everybody it's not what it is.
Right.
Like, people are so afraid of being called racist. And it's like, I have racist thoughts. It doesn't make me, like, racist, you know? Because right, I'm like, my brain is dumb. I've been conditioned. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you have to, like, unlearn all of these things. And I think what AOC said, she had a speech where she talked about how much we need to, like, on our side, we need to love and to have an open space for people who want to come, back. And she had a plea for them to come back.
It's not
and
too late, she said. Yeah,
it's not too late. What we're not going to compromise.
Pastor. She's literally becoming
she's so
a pastor.
She's fucking amazing, and like, she's younger than me, Wyatt. but she like the fact that she recognizes that there are people that need a space to come back, and that you can't just like fully cancel a person, but you can cancel ideas. Like, I think that's very important.
Well, and I think that's the danger of like cancel culture right now. Is like we could be so quick to just be like, well, you're racist. And that's it. The fucking doors are shut. And this person now has to just be like, well, then now I'm gonna have to make the best of being on in this fucking world.
Right.
Like, okay, fuck that. Versus like being like, look, it's 2019. We get it. You have 19 fucking 48 thoughts and beliefs. But like, there is, just take a second. You don't have to have hatred in your fucking heart. Because at the end of the day, I think what people on the left, if for people who are purely interested in like an equitable world, it's not one that excludes everybody. Because I think a lot of people are like, well, this is just for fucking brown people and Jews or something. And I'm white and they just want to take everything I have. No, it's about understanding that there is an abundance just generally that can be shared with everyone. And no one has to go, you know, no one has to be left out and be lacking.
Exactly. And we're not dumb. Like, if you send like a rapist out of a community, he's going to go to another community. Right. Like this hate, like we want conversion. That is what we want, because you can't just like isolate people and their hatred from like the world.
Yeah.
That's not like, that's impossible. So like, we don't want to like eradicate people. We want to eradicate these ideas.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, I will say this last, because I think that to your point, Miles, people thinking that everyone wants equality for black and brown people and people
just stops there.
Yeah. Everyone but white men. I think that white women, you can help a lot with that. White women, we needed you so badly in the last election. We only got 54% of your votes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a white woman who believes, you know, that basically what's happening in our country right now is wrong and you don't agree with these things, then just take a moment to share that with your girlfriends and your friends. Sincerely, like, I mean this, because you have so much power and we sincerely do need you on our side, because it also points to the fact that this is not about race. Because honestly, affirmative action has benefited white women, this is a statistical fact, the most out of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like everything that we're trying to do is for the equality of all of us. And we really need certain groups to like really participate more.
Yeah.
And with that, like having them ask questions. I have like white women friends. Like I do this with black women. I'm like, yo, black person check in. Cause I'm like, I don't understand something, or I like need better clarification.
If it's your friend. If there's also friend, a whole internet and there's books.
Yeah, there is. Right. And it's not like our responsibility. Like you have to take certain responsibility. But part of that is asking questions. And I have a white female friend who like phrases things incorrectly all the time and is embarrassed and gets like defensive or whatever. But she recognizes that. And she's like, how do I stop this? And she like asks me questions and she participates. And I was like, hey, it's really fucking hard. Like, you have to read a lot and you have to be like active in doing that and in seeking out new information.
Right.
But if you want to be a good person, if you want to like care about your fellow human beings, you'll do the work. And I think on a different note, I think like, because I've seen this argument a lot from like straight black people, cis straight black people, that like they feel like the LGBTQ movement, like in terms of like acceleration of like rights, has like passed them or whatever, which erases like, you know, queer black people in general.
Right.
But my point is that LGBTQ people have been like born into families. Those families loved them and then they had to make a choice. Right. About whether to continue loving them or to like reject them once they like came out. And I think when you have to make that choice, when it's personal to you, when you're exposed to it, it's a lot harder. Whereas people can stay segregated in like different races, like they can avoid other races for like.
Oh, you're saying that choice doesn't show up on your doorstep in the same way, because you can avoid people of different backgrounds.
Yeah.
Backgrounds
and
versus
a lot
if it's someone in your
too.
Family, it's like, oh, okay, now this is a very real.
Yeah, and I'm not like trying to compare like the sufferings.
No,
of
I
the
understand.
Different...
But no, we you're understand saying your the, choi- point. The yeah. way you arrive there is much different.
Yeah. I also want to make this last point that I feel like a lot of white people feel like minorities have a racial high ground, or not a racial high ground, but like a moral high ground when it comes to racism and stuff like that. But I really want to say that, like, I have to untrain my brain all the time. Like you were saying, with things that are rooted in prejudice. My cousin's a school teacher and I used to grade papers with him, and the name, you know, this was in Brooklyn, and the names would be like, I can't even think of one, like Moncrajon, and I'd be like, oh my God, these names, like how do you read these? And he was like, are you kidding me? He was like, every name is made up. Are you, like, no name is better than any other name, and everybody's name is a reflection of something that their parents gave them, and we should not judge people based on that. And I had to check myself.
Right.
So it's like we all have to constantly unlearn prejudice that we were taught.
100%. And that's what it is. I mean, acknowledge that nothing, your work is never finished, right? And there's an ability to evolve because nothing is permanent. Keep that in mind. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
And we're back, and just onto some lighter fare. I don't know if y'all ever have to deal with seagulls eating your shit or tagging your food at the beach or just in general, but there's been a new study. Now, I don't know how the fucking scientifically rooted this is. Maybe the PhD candidate can tell us. Just about how to successfully fucking intimidate a seagull from not eating your fucking food. Yo. And I like this. Now, this is a study from, it was recently published in the Biology Letters from the UK. Do you know this journal? Okay, maybe it's fake. No, it's probably good. But basically, they wanted to test like if human intimidation through eye contact has any effect on seagulls' like sort of willingness to attack your food. Now, the way they did this was they had like a bag of food out, like a chips or something, and then they would have an experimenter. Like some experimenters just looked like had their eyes turned away from the seagulls, and then other people would stare the seagulls the fuck down. Like if they got near the bags of chips. And after 5 minutes, if the seagull didn't approach or if the seagull snatched the food up, that experiment or that trial, they would categorize that as complete. So they found that the seagulls took significantly longer to approach the food source when the experimenter looked them directly at them versus away. Now, some were bolder than others, but the overall findings, they say, just means that straight up eye contact, even head turning, being like, I see you, was able to slow down or deter the seagulls. For people who didn't look, they were much more willing to approach. I didn't even think this was a thing because usually I would just throw shit or be like, get the fuck out of here. That's usually my tactic.
Right. I'm going to have to get into the research scam game because somebody funded this. Mm-hmm. Somebody funded
big
people
stare down.
Going down to figure out if staring at seagulls was worthwhile.
Or, yeah, you just had like, you had grant money. You're like, fuck, let's just kick it at the beach. We'll do this thing.
Right. We'll just stare at seagulls and then we'll who's going to go out and debunk this research?
But like me.
Me. Harvard. Yeah. Hit your girl up, okay? Because I'm going to go out and I'm going to stare at seagulls
as well. And what's your degree background? What are your bona fides?
Okay, I have a marketing degree.
Okay,
and a performance degree. But okay. Listen, though, I took biology in high school.
Biology, wow.
Biology,
wow.
Okay,
the
I
European
took
version.
Science. And I need to go out there. Give me $300,000 to go out here and
debunk this study.
Yeah,
because I'm gonna go to where are you gonna go to the beach in Turks and Caicos?
Yeah.
And see, from my suite.
I got to go to Bali.
Yeah.
Because that's where the seagulls be the most trill.
Right.
And you have to see, like, monkey effect on seagull eye contact.
Right.
Like, you, yeah.
What's your PhD take?
Okay, this is, like, this thing is something that, like, the public will see, like, a headline like this and be like, what the fuck? Why do I need to know this or whatever? But, like, then 30 years down the line, it's, like, a new invention of Velcro or something. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, all of it's, like, fucking tied together somehow. Ooh. You know, people don't see that, but everything is very, like, niche and specific. So they're like, why do I need to know this?
Oh, I love that. See, that's even further proliferating my own exploits that I'll be doing.
Yeah.
I would love to see you somehow scam your way into doing scientific research. I think that's honestly probably...
She, like, gets a PhD.
Yeah,
she's like, I'm scamming. No, bitch, you're studying.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Whatever it is. It's like somehow you're like, oh, I work at NASA right now. I'm working on a new moon.
She's like, at Mars.
Right.
She's one of the first astronauts.
Right. I'm like, this really got out of hand. I'm
trying to put a monorail on Mars now.
Right. We're like, we have Chief Scamgeneer. Captain Lacey Mosley.
And the freeze-dried food. And then next thing I knew, I was on Mars.
Oh, so now you don't like your new Virgil Abloh-designed off-white spacesuits? Okay, well, y'all are so ungrateful.
She's like, do these shoes have red bottoms?
My space boots got red bottoms.
Your Tom Sachs Nikes. Also, another thing. I didn't realize there's a... apparently, the rise in prices of avocados is causing some restaurants to thin out their guac with a secret ingredient. Now, I don't know if this... how prevalent this is. But due to these like huge spikes in avocados, people are, this is okay, look, this might be surprising to you, but there are restaurants in California that have been essentially adding the calabacita, the summer squash. And they basically, they can get the taste and texture right, although it's just a little bit looser. Mm-hmm. And this is apparently a guac scam.
I know that this guac scam has been happening.
Because she's behind it.
And yeah. I've watched.
Oh, yeah. You have a calabacita farm.
Yeah. Well, listen. You got to get in early.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
And the biggest way that I know this has been happening is because I've been seeing way too many advertisements about some guac that's got raisins in it, pomegranate what? Seeds, coconut.
What?
Like, they're putting all types of wild shit in guacamole. And it's to distract us from the fact that it tastes like squash.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. If you go to Toca Madera out here, they put...
Oh, wow. Yeah. Shots fired.
They put pomegranate seeds in their guacamole. Pepitas.
Like
all types of stuff to
pepitas
get,
I can get down with.
To throw me off the scent
right.
of the squash.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Chipotle's fucking around. Mm. Or their guac price stays... That shit is thick.
I mean, but their guac price stays up. I think that... Because other places like that will give you guacamole, it's not necessarily like market price or it comes with the meal. But at right. Chipotle, they keep that price high. So I think even if avocados dip, Chipotle has never changed their price.
Right.
Cut to like 10 years later, there's no avocados. They're just offering squash. It's $10 right. if you want to add it to your burrito.
And we're like old and we're like, you know, back like, in my day, yeah. guacamole was made with avocados. Like, okay, Grandpa. I think he's having one of his episodes.
I'm gonna go into my drawer and take a nap.
Yeah, they're like, okay,
it's like
I'm
their
gonna
version
go.
Of a house.
Right.
Everyone knows guacamole is squash and watermelon seeds.
They're like, go play your PS18, Grandpa, and leave us the fuck alone. Keep playing FIFA 40.
Stop trying to make us listen to Migos, Grandpa.
I'm gonna teleport right now if you stop. If you don't stop embarrassing. Me.
Honestly, if you say raindrop drop top, we're gonna put you in a home. I don't give a fuck.
What does that even mean?
It doesn't make sense.
But you were cooking up dope in the crock pot.
Why would you speak words in music? That's disgusting.
Right. It's like, I remember when music was audible. Now we just put these vibrating chips on our jawbones, and that's how we enjoy music. Now.
Right.
In the privacy of our own skulls.
I say, it's your... And they're like, she's having a stroke.
She's having a stroke. Please call the doctor. It's happening again. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Automagico! That was the one she used to do. And now it's the other one.
That's Hindi.
What does that mean?
I think it's like my hand or something. I don't even speak.
I just remember
Hindi
that part from Get Your Freak On.
But I saw that part and I was like, oh shit, we made it. There was a lot of Indian
Me too, because it starts
in
off in Japanese. Because it's
yeah.
like, kore kara minna de odotte sawago sawago. Hip paper.
This episode is sponsored by Missy Elliott.
By Missy Elliott and Timbaland. Wow. Shout out to Virginia. You know, Virginia is for lovers. And hustlers, too, if you like the clips. Paula V, it's been so fantastic to have you.
Thank you.
Congrats
for
on your comedy
me.
Anniversary. You said 3 years now.
Yes.
Today, 3 years since you decided to kick academia in its ass and say, fuck that. I'm going to try and do both.
The 3 years since the day I stepped off the stage and was like, fuck, this is where all my time is going.
Yeah. Well, look, I hope you're able to also get that PhD degree. You know what I mean? That's what
you.
We need. We need more PhDs doing comedy.
Yeah,
you know
we need anatomically correct dick jokes.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. And you're like, what are you talking about? What part of the penis is this? Don't just say the shaft. Let's be more specific. What's shaft mean? What's the scientific word for shaft? Is it still shaft?
I guess.
TBD. Zeit Gang, write in. Let me know all the scientific names for all the parts of the penis because I don't want to look up diagram of penis.
Did you know most of the parts of like the vagina, including the G-spot, is named after men?
Oh,
oh
it's
my
hell yeah.
God.
Fucking terrible.
Who is the doctor with the G name?
They planted our flags in the pussy.
But here's the thing, though. They can't find none of that. You'd think they'd be looking for their friends then.
Yeah.
Where's the G-spot? On the outside?
You know what?
Hey, which hole is the clit?
He's like, oh, the belly button's named after a man? That's
damn.
Crazy.
Oh, y'all like that? Oh, y'all are nasty. What's a tweet that you're like? Oh, also, where can people find you, follow you, support you, which plug stuff?
Everybody, get your pens out.
Okay.
I'm Paula Viganalan, PallaViGunalan. That's my website, my Instagram, my Facebook, my Twitter.
Oh, yes.
I have a show and a podcast called Facial Recognition Comedy. We're at Westside Comedy Theater the second Sunday of every month at 9 p.m. We're also starting up in New York, too, and we'll be there August 30th
okay.
at 11:30 p.m. at New York Comedy Club. And I also have Oversharing Comedy, which is a show I run at Boomtown Brewery in downtown. That's at Oversharing Comedy. And I have, this is my the thing that I plugged earlier, my Dirty Science web series. It's on my YouTube and it's also on my website. And I just like explore a different topic every week.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's for adults, so I like make dirty jokes and
shit. Hell okay. Yes. Fuck yeah. We like that Dirty Science shit out here. What about you, Lacey? Where can people find you, follow you?
Okay,
give
guys,
you,
you know
get
how
get in on
goes.
This great investment opportunity, too.
Yes, don't you want a house in Aruba that's got a monorail that's going to take you to
yes.
it? Come on now.
I'm in.
Yeah, well, I know you in.
Yep.
All right,
it's
gonna
guys. It's
going to be great. As always, it's Lacey Mosley. It's you can find me at DivaLacey Diva Lacey on all platforms. You can also find my podcast, Scam Goddess, on Earwolf Presents. Ooh. If you haven't listened to the pilot. Guys, it drops October 1st, and it's going to be litty. Also, you can follow Scam Goddess Pod on Twitter and on Instagram. And if you got any scams you want to tell me about, non-current ones, okay? If you're still running it, I'm not trying to mess up your flow.
Yeah.
Email me at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. And guys, the season finale of Florida Girls was yesterday. If you did not watch it, Florida Girls, Pop TV, you can get it on the Pop Network app. If you have Hulu Live, you can watch it on demand. But get that, guys. And then tweets that I'm enjoying. Also, UCB Theater, if you want to watch me at Team Leroy or UCB Mod Team Donatella. So many plugs. Wow. Y'all still with me?
plugs. I need a surge protector.
And I'm going to be doing my own tweets today. But tweets that
hell
I like.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, here's my first one from NBC Los Angeles. Watch live. During a police pursuit in Orange County, a motorcycle driver finds time to take out his phone and text. I retweeted this and said, don't ever let a man tell you he was too busy to reply back, okay? He's literally being chased by the cops on a motorcycle, okay? So get what you deserve, queen. All right, and then the next tweet that I like, just because I have to get Tawny. I have to do this. Sorry, Tawny Newsom. Tawny Newsom tweeted, Stevie Wonder just ate dinner next to me and I didn't see him. Please, no questions during this difficult time for my family, in parentheses, me. And I had to retweet that and say, well, he probably didn't. Never mind. I'm so sorry, sis. And she goes, I wasn't making a joke about Stevie Wonder not being able to see. But
oh,
I was like,
really?
Then why you had said see then?
Yeah.
Why you didn't say you
respect
didn't realize?
She probably just thought it was some dusty old dude with bad braids.
Stevie Wonder does blind jokes anyway.
Yeah.
He like gets
He's
in the car
so
and drives.
Funny. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's
Someone
hella
needs
funny.
To update his hair, though.
Just, you know, he can feel where them braids are starting. He know.
Yeah.
He know they done moved back.
Yeah,
you know
way back.
This spells out help me in Braille. Right.
Oh, shit. Do you have a tweet that you like? Did I ask you?
A or recent one, or can
right
I just
through?
Plug one of mine?
Sure,
before?
Yeah.
A long time ago, I tweeted a picture of Will Smith's genie, and I was like, this is what white people think Hinduism is.
It isn't?
It's very close,
okay.
I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
You can find me at Miles of Gray. That's on Twitter and Instagram. A couple of tweets I like. Two are from Reductress and one is from Molly Lambert. The Reductress ones. At Reductress. Mom announces tissue is clean. It's just been in her purse. My God. I don't know. I've always heard that. No, it's fine. It's just been in my purse because
it's all
crumpled
it's
up.
All
no?
crumpled
okay,
up.
Never mind. Another one. Wow, this woman pole dances for exercise but doesn't respect sex workers. Too real. Too real. And then Molly Lambert, at Molly Lambert, there's a spider in my shower, but we have a mutual respect. I like that. You know what I mean? Shout out to spiders. Spiders in the building all day. Arachne gang here to
Arachne
stay.
Gang.
Arachne yep. gang.
Shout out to the University of Richmond, Virginia. The UC, they're called the Spiders. And I need that jersey that just says fucking spiders on the front. Fuck with spiders, man. But it is, man. They're fucking tight.
Spiders. Do you like just from a distance? Or do you like...
No, if I see them, I'm like, oh. I don't get freaked out. I'm like, do your thing, man. Yeah. Unless it's like a black widow or something, I'm like, you can't be inside. I'm sorry.
They're the pit bulls of spiders, man. They're just getting all this shit.
Yeah, misunderstood, though. Misunderstood.
Misunderstood.
You know what I mean? It's because of the environment they're in. You know what
yeah.
I mean? They're just out here surviving, and we're taking that as like, oh, my God. But
they
the
are
spider
building
will do,
buildings over their homes.
The spider will do as the spider will do. And that's very zen. Okay. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We got a Facebook fan page. We got a website, dailyzeitgeist.com. We're posting episodes in a footnote.
Footnote.
Oh, bless. And, you know, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app. or the Apple Podcasts app, or wherever you get your shows. Just get them. Okay? Please. Now, as I spit because I'm dehydrated because the cold brew wasn't kicking hard enough today, I want to mention the song we were writing out on. And it is from a group who I'm just going to say is LA's Outkast. They're called Tyron and Aomari. I don't know if it's Tyron or... look, you have to forgive me if I'm mispronouncing it. They're known as TNA. Okay? The song is called Too Petty. And they kind of... They do it all. I mean, they're...
My theme song?
Yeah, exactly. Too petty.
Yours would be like never too petty.
Yours would be, yours would be fucking three petty.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is Too Petty from... I think it's from a little single they released last year. But it's great. And just check them out if you like the vibe as we get closer, one day closer to Friday. So if you're in college, this is your Friday. But please act responsibly. Love each other. And it's never too late to come back from racism. I love you. Goodbye.
I'm very off the sucker shit. Shucking, jiving, chicken, scratching at me like you back. Me acting like we homies type shit. Sick of phonies, Nickelodeon niggas to think they all that. Lapse in judgment up to Andy. Pay me, petty. Can't we all get along though? Nah, I'm off all y'all niggas. What's a faux pas when you roped off anyway, huh? Oh, no, oh, no.
All the shit you saying, say it to my face while you talking. All behind my back while you talking. They say how you act when you round.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.